This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Sierra Doctor. We begin with Harvest Hotline, presented by Pivot Bio, the North Dakota Mill, Amity Technology, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. American Crystal Sugar finished harvest on Sunday. General Agronomist Joe Hastings calls it a compact harvest.
We had a great harvest. Some heat, some frost, but it was a dry harvest, which helps can help expedite that and get the crop in good condition. Very decent crop. It's looking like we have harvested the most tons we've ever harvested. So in history, we had 26 about and a half tons per acre. We're getting the final numbers on that, but we're just under 12.1 million tons, which would be the most we've done. And with that, that just shows we got the amount we need to keep our factories at optimum supplies.
And Hastings acknowledges all of the employees and crews that it takes to get this crop harvested.
You look at all the people it takes to make this happen, and it's an intense time, and this year was really come back. When you look at 5 days, we piled over 1 million tons of beets in a row, so that's pretty awesome. And just acknowledging all the workers and people who are out making the piling sites and the trucks in the field and all that activity work to produce and harvest and in the factories too as refine the sugar. It's quite the undertaking, and it's nice to see a good harvest like this as well.
Harvest is winding down for Southern Minnesota Beet Sugar Cooperative. Vice President of Agriculture Todd Giselius says three hard freeze events slowed harvest.
Yeah, that definitely slowed us down. We basically stopped after that. And then the weekend following that, we had temperatures close to 80, so we didn't do anything really until just yesterday we started going again.
Giselia says the crop has been decent for when it was planted.
Right now my estimate's at 26.6 tons. We should be pretty close to that. And our sugar's probably around 17.4, which is a pretty good number for us. So all in all, not a terrible year considering how late we got planted this year. We got planted up a month later than normal, and it wasn't quite, I would call, an average crop in terms of tons, but pretty darn good. And, of course, the dry weather during the month of September really helped our sugar build, and so that made a big difference.
Minot, North Dakota farmer Chad Rubelke finished up harvest early a few weeks ago. Rubelke was a little bit disappointed with the soybeans.
They look good all year, but we didn't get any moisture toward the end of the year. So they came off average, but, we're fairly disappointed on them.
Rubelke planned applying fertilizer, but the fields are too dry.
Well, we were hoping to, but it's so dry underneath. We did get a good rain here a couple days ago, but it's so dry underneath that we're going to end up storing and putting on in the spring.
Hankinson, North Dakota farmer Joe Mauch says he's on the last leg of harvest.
Well, we're just finishing up corn today, and so that's probably earlier than we probably ever have done. So we're just kind of doing field work now and doing some strip tilling right now, actually. Everything went real good. We got done with beets, sugar beets, last week, Thursday, I believe. And, normally we just kind of start corn after beets, but been a goofy year and got in early, and the corn's been dry, and, it's been real good.
Despite corn yields being very variable, Mauch is happy with harvest results.
Yeah, it was probably an average corn crop, but for the year that we had, I would say that I'm real happy with that. I didn't know what to expect, and kind of the corn itself was a little better than, it was sure better than what we thought we were going to get, I guess. But it really varied. It was a heavy ground, probably wasn't so good, and the lighter ground was better than we thought. So, I would say just kind of an average year, but was happy with that.
Dale Zoraka finished up harvest earlier than normal in the Lankin, North Dakota area. Zoraka changed up his planting plans this spring when he had trouble getting into the fields.
So for the first time in about 15 years, we didn't have corn because of the tough spring this year and getting things in. So we chose to do a lot more summer crops. So we have finished up and we're hauling barley to Anheuser-Busch and delivering some canolas.
Zoraka is impressed with how soybean yields turned out.
The soybeans were real good. You know, when we put them in, it was early June, and some of those field conditions weren't optimal. But, boy, the summer was perfect, as it was for a lot of people in our area, and they really performed well. And I think our numbers were, you know, in that 40 to 50 number.
The end is in sight for Minnesota's soybean harvest. Harvest progress is 96% complete, a 12% increase in the past week. The corn harvest pace is estimated at 61%, an improvement of 25% in just 1 week. 35% of Minnesota's sunflower crop is harvested.
70% of North Dakota's topsoil moisture is rated short to very short. 92% of the soybeans are harvested, well ahead of the long-term average. Corn harvest is 48% complete, up from the long-term average of 34%. North Dakota's sunflower harvest is nearly 40% complete.
Dry conditions remain an issue in South Dakota, with topsoil moisture supplies rated 84% short to very short. 93% of the soybeans and 64% of the corn is in the bin. In both cases, the number is well ahead of the averages. The South Dakota Weekly Crop Progress Report estimates sunflower harvest is at 32% complete. And that's Harvest Hotline, presented by Ag Country, Farm Credit Services, the North Dakota Mill, Pivot Bio, and Amity Technology. Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly FarmNet newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. It's all at rrfn.com. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Midwest will see a few rounds of rain over the next couple of weeks, but will be heavy enough to interrupt harvest in just a few locations. World Weather Incorporated says up to an inch and a half of rain will fall from central Missouri to the eastern Corn Belt, while light rains will fall in the western and northern Midwest. World Weather says Friday and Saturday will be dry, with rains returning Sunday night into Monday, when much of the Midwest will receive up to 3/4 of an inch.
Much of Brazil and Paraguay will see a good mix of rain and sunshine over the next 2 weeks, while Argentina will see beneficial rains through the coming weekend before turning dry once again. World Weather Incorporated says much of Brazil will receive up to an inch and a half of rain this week and an additional 3/4 of an inch next week. Argentina will see a better chance of rain through Sunday before turning dry. Southern Argentina will see up to an inch and a half of rain, while northern Argentina will receive less than a half inch. Temperatures are expected to remain seasonal, with highs running from the mid-70s to the lower 90s most days.
The harvest across the Midwest and Northern Plains is going well, with decent yields going into the bin. Helena Regional Manager Thad Meister.
Really the Nebraska border all the way to the Canadian border and everything in between. It's just been a fast harvest because of the dry conditions. A lot of things getting done. Fertilizer is going on, maybe not at the as high rates as we were seeing last year, but still a lot of stuff getting put on. A lot of guys getting things done and getting ready for next year.
And Meister is concerned about the very dry conditions and the lack of subsoil moisture going into winter. Supply chain problems also continue to be an issue.
Still doesn't feel great in that space. It's not bad. Everybody says there's product, but there's still stuff that isn't shipping. So it's just still concerning all the way through the chain, though. It just seems like things will go good, and then something goes bad, and it slows everything down, and it's just kind of a ripple effect.
The supply of glyphosate and glufosinate is better than a year ago, but Meister says the availability of 2,4-D will likely be tight next year.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says the latest USDA crop data shows winter wheat acres that are being planted appear to be in good shape.
79% of the intended winter wheat acreage planted by October 23rd, 1 point ahead of the five-year average, on par with last year's 79%.
Rippey says the lack of moisture has thrown a wrench in plans. With rain forecasts in a few of the major wheat growing regions, farmers are rushing to get winter wheat acres in.
But embedded within that story is the fact that a few producers are waiting for moisture to plant the crop. And that's obviously having an impact on the emergence and establishment of the crop. Arkansas, one example, very dry, 34% planted, five-year average 46%. So there may be a lot of producers getting out there ahead of this rain and planting.
Basis bids at the six regional grain elevators, followed by the Red River Farm Network, remain mostly unchanged for spring wheat and corn. Several elevators began basing soybean cash bids off of the January contract. Spring wheat basis continues to range from 50 to 90 under the December Minneapolis futures. Corn basis ranging from 35 to 60 under the December Chicago contract. Soybean basis now ranging from 15 to 60 cents under the January futures contract.
Archer Daniels Midland reports fiscal year third quarter profits are up 56% year over year to $1.56 billion. Chairman and CEO Juan Luciano told investors that global demand remains very robust.
And our ability to meet customer needs demonstrated our team's expertise in managing dynamic market conditions, as well as the unique benefits of our integrated global value chain and product portfolio. We continue to generate strong cash flows, which support the continued advancement of our strategy.
ADM's Ag Services and Oilseed profits are up $457 million from the third quarter last year to $1.07 billion.
International Dairy Foods Association has submitted comments to the Federal Maritime Commission in response to the rulemaking process for Ocean Shipping Reform Act. During the pandemic and supply chain disruptions, foreign-owned ocean carriers would often leave U.S. ports empty and refuse to negotiate shipping pace to exporters. IDFA described this practice as unacceptable and asked for stronger rules. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. With weaning time coming up, producers need to make the most of sale day. South Dakota State University cow-calf field specialist Olivia Munson says besides having a good health program in place, uniformity and color will help garner a premium.
It was just something that we saw a lot when we were sitting in the sale barn is, you know, black calves tended to bring a premium compared to colored cattle. And there's a lot of speculation on that was just kind of what the packers were wanting at that time and that spread might not necessarily be there. But a lot of times when you're running cattle through the sale barn and you have a load of black calves, but you have maybe two or three colored ones in there, they tend to get pulled, and then you definitely see a cut in price for those calves compared to the group of black ones. And like I said, it's not that you necessarily have to go all black, but, you know, picking a color and just having a uniform group of that color goes a long way.
Munson says timing it is also a big factor.
You know, when we sat down in the sale barns and we were collecting a lot of data, last fall and last spring, you know, we saw a huge price spread between weaned calves and unweaned calves. And that one we really kind of started scratching our head at for a long time until we were able to sit down with some sale barn owners and order buyers. And what we kind of learned was that, you know, this time of year, October, November, this is really the time of year to be selling those balling calves. What we did see was that when you're selling weaned calves at this time of year, you get a bit of a discount because a lot of those order buyers are looking for that shiny, milk-fat, balling calf. And a lot of those feedlots that are taking some of these calves in are prepared for some of those calves.
Checking markets before we leave you this afternoon. December wheat, Minneapolis is down 2.75 cents at 9.55. The March contract's down 2.5. Chicago December wheat down 0.75 cents at 8.38. Kansas City December wheat is a penny higher at 9.39. December corn 5.5 higher at 6.87. March corn's up 5 at 6.92 3/4. November soybeans 11.5 higher, 13.83.5. March soybeans 13 cents higher at 14.02 1/4. November canola $11, now $13.40 a metric ton higher at 906.20 Canadian. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.